Help keep this show free by buying some of our swag of apparel at butcherspit.com. We have t-shirts, hoodies, and even baby onesies. That's butcherspit.com.
Did a Bigfoot attack really take place in the Okefenokee Swamp in 1829? Or is it all just a tall tale? The answer may never be known, but the story is an intriguing mystery of America's largest swamp. The legend comes from the south end of Ware County, where the line dividing Georgia from Florida passes through the Okefenokee. By the winter of 1828 to 1829, settlers were just pushing into the fringes of the Great Swamp. It was extremely dry that year, and two men decided to explore as far into the Okefenokee as possible. Taking a teenager with them, for 2 weeks they penetrated the swamp until they made the startling discovery of a giant footprint.
The length of the foot was 18 and the breadth 9 inches. The monster, from every appearance, must have moved forward in an easy or hesitating gait, his stride from heel to toe being a trifle over 6 feet. Milledgeville, Georgia Statesman, January 1829.
As the newspapers of the time noted, the men decided that they had seen enough and headed for home as fast as possible. Their journey excited the curiosity of a party of hunters who lived just across the Florida border. Armed to the teeth and guided by a member of the original party, they went into the Okefenokee to find the mysterious giant.
The next minute he was full in their view, advancing upon them with a terrible look and ferocious mien. Our little band instinctively gathered close in a body and presented their rifles. The huge being, nothing daunted, bounded upon his victims, and in the same instant received the contents of 7 rifles. Milledgeville Statesman, January 1829.
The battle with the creature did not end there.
He did not fall alone, nor until he had glutted his wrath with the death of 5 of them, which he effected by wringing the head from the body. Writhing and exhausted, at length he fell, with his hapless prey beneath his grasp. Milledgeville Statesman, January 1829.
As the monster lay roaring and dying on the ground, the survivors gathered to inspect it. They found that it was 13 feet from head to toe. Afraid that the hair-covered creature's howls and cries might attract more of its kind, the hunters immediately fled the swamp. They left their own dead behind. It is a remarkable story, but is it true? No one knows. The newspaper reporter wrote that the people living in Ware County on the margins of the Okefenokee Swamp clearly believed it. Either way, the story of the 1829 attack was one of the earliest written accounts of the creature we know today as Bigfoot, the Skunk Ape, or Sasquatch. Sightings of large creatures and discoveries of huge footprints continue in the swamp to this day. To learn more about the Okefenokee Swamp, visit our website at 2ATV.com. In South Georgia's magnificent Okefenokee Swamp, I'm Rachel Conrad for 2ATV.
Welcome to Murky Chronicles 32. I am Thaifala, the Butcher Dabashi, back healthy from the China virus, flu, or whatever you want to call it. And you know the one from the Wuhan lab? My partner in crime, Gorgeous Kenny Roberts, is out with the same flu. Gorgeous Kenny Roberts, I want to wish you a speedy recovery.
Hoo-yah! These nuts.
But guess what? Stepping in his place, his son, beautiful Joey Roberts. Thanks for filling in, brother.
Thanks for having me, man. I've been listening for a long time, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to be on here, man. It's awesome.
Oh, well, you know, it's great. It's great. So you got some shoes to fill, and you know what? I think you could do it just fine. So you, I'm just happy you're on. You know, I know you got a new fiance. You got a... You got stuff going on. I'm proud of you, man. I still think of you as little Joey Roberts. But
well, thanks, man. Yeah, got a lot of things in the works. My beautiful fiance is 2 hours away right now, and I get to see her tomorrow. And so I'm just very thankful for all the blessings in my life, man. And yeah, you're right. I do got a lot of big shoes to fill on this podcast. I mean, the gorgeous one's out and the beautiful one has to take his place tonight. I mean, I hope I could live up to it. You know what I mean?
Well, you're doing a very darn good job. And, you know, at the start of the show, we played about one of the first recorded encounters of skunk ape all the way from 1829, courtesy of the 2Egg TV YouTube channel. What's your thoughts on that, Mr. Beautiful Joey Roberts?
I think that's incredible that they have these sightings going all the way back that far. I mean, being from the Pacific Northwest, you know, we have these folklore and stories that just, you know, go back in time from generation to generation. And it's just incredible that we have these stories, sightings, whatever you want to call them, going all the way back that far.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's incredible. I mean, I don't know what you think about if he is just a story or if he is fact, but I tell you what, it's incredible because I'm a believer. I believe in Bigfoot. I believe in Sasquatch and Skunk Ape, whatever you want to call him. I believe he's out there.
Well, have you had any experiences?
Just camping. I mean, I know from the TV shows, I mean, Finding Bigfoot, you know, they have the wood knocking and everything like that. I've heard them out in places where I thought I would never hear anything. But then again, I don't know if there are other campers just squatching. You know what I mean?
No, I hear you. I hear you. Well, you want to know why I believe?
Yeah, let's hear it.
You want to hear my story?
Let's hear your story, man. I know you got one to tell.
Really? You know, I'm getting excited.
Let's do it.
These nuts. Okay, I'm ready.
All right, let's get it.
Well, I've said it before, you know, on past podcasts, but we talked a little bit yesterday, and you said you didn't hear it, so I said, let's save it for the podcast. So when I was about, 15-ish, you know, young teenager, we would all go to Mount Hood, Oregon, and, you know, friends of the family. That's what we had, my cousins, my sisters, my grandma, and you know, grandpa and step-grandpa. You know, we had maybe 4 or 5 campers, RVs, and as soon as we rolled up, me and my cousin Jamal, we were so infatuated with Bigfoot. Every year would we go to the souvenir shop, get books, and the ranger, first thing we went into our campsite, he goes, "Hey, there's been a sighting here." We're like, "Really?" So every night we'd sit around the campfire that night and you know, say Bigfoot stories. And you remember my Aunt Terry, right?
Yeah.
You know, rest up in heaven, Aunt Terry. Yeah. So it was pitch dark and she comes running, yelling my name. And her dog was running and she failed a couple times. I seen Bigfoot, but I don't know why she kept on yelling my name. So I knew something was kind of fishy. I mean, we all did because all the grownups were like, "Well, let's you know, go in our camper, you know."
Yeah, it's not safe to be outside.
Yeah, we thought it was weird. But let me back up. That right before night, you know, before we did the campfire thing, and the ranger told us about the sighting. Me and my cousin walked our, Jamal walked our, where we, you know, our fishing spot. And we walked across the Hood River and went to the other side. And this is before our campfire story. So it was, you know, it was early afternoon. We kept on walking. And it was weird. It was like something was watching us. And we walked maybe, you know, about a half a football field, you know, 150 feet or yards, whatever. And then we start noticing these, and I didn't know until I start watching documentary and stuff, we'd find these little structures of rocks and wood by the tree, mm-hmm. like in the ground, like structures. You know, we thought satanic or something, but come to think of it, I think it was Bigfoot. So we kept on walking. We had this eerie feeling. Me and my cousin looked up, and we seen something kind of hairy jump behind the tree, like was kind of trying to hide from us. We took off running like bat out of hell. We ran back, you know, and went back to our campsite. And we didn't think nothing of it. Okay, right. Now fast forward, that happened. My aunt got scared, right? Mm-hmm. So then, that next day, about 3 PM, was me, my cousin, my cousins, my sisters, friends in the family. We were oldest to youngest in a line, and we start picking up campfire wood, right? And we got to this bush, and then I looked up, and there was a big hairy thing, less probably like 5 feet in front of me. And I looked up, and it was 7 to 8 foot tall, and it was tall, and it was moving his hands, like brushing the bushes away from his face, you know, but I couldn't mm-hmm. see his face because he was looking down. And he got up to about 3 feet in front of me. And I stood there and I just said, oh hell. And I threw up my firewood. I went running. My sister, my Jamal saw it. And then my sister Jamila saw it. And then mm-hmm. the rest of the people followed us back to the campsite. So that was my brush with Bigfoot. And then the next day, I don't know if it was the next night or I don't know if it was before or after. My cousin Jamal told me the next day he was speechless because he saw Bigfoot walking across by the, you know, the riverbank, you know. Yeah. And I don't know. So yeah, that's why I think it's real, because I don't think it was a bear, and I honestly it wasn't a bear. I know for a fact. I believe to this day is Bigfoot, and I know Mount Hood, Oregon, Washington, Idaho. Yeah. A lot of, you know, Bigfoot sightings. So to this day, I believe I saw Bigfoot, Sasquatch, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, or him or her or what.
Right.
So that's my story.
Man, that's a great story. I believe that you saw Bigfoot too. I mean, there's just too much land in Washington and Oregon and Northern California in the whole Pacific Northwest that is no one's living there. And what makes you think that there can't be a Bigfoot there? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of virgin forests out there.
Oh, absolutely. And I believe those wood structures and stone structures was you going into his mm-hmm. territory. He mm-hmm. was, those were marks for other animals to say, hey, don't enter. Something's in there. And, you know, us humans, we don't know what that means because we're not out in the forest. And we just go right into their territory and we might not even know.
What? I know what the answer is for myself. I'm going to ask you this. Mm-hmm. Why don't you think there's any Bigfoot carcass out there?
I believe, well, my thing is every time I go out into the woods, either with friends or just, you know, anytime, I say to myself and I say to them, when you're not looking for them, you will see them.
Right.
I mean, you're always feeling watched. I mean, when I go dirt bike riding up in the woods and it's getting closer to dark, you know, nighttime, and you got your headlights on and everything like that, you really feel like you're being watched.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah.
You know, another thing is too, do you ever see a dead bear out in the woods?
No.
Or dead, you know, my thing is either maybe they get sick and they go out and die. Maybe they take care of their own. And plus there's right. animals out there eating carcasses and dead stuff. I mean, there's all sorts of things, you know, and I did some quick research about skunk ape. You know, I didn't know too much mm-hmm. about it. And I know, but I know it's basically I jotted down that Florida has its own Bigfoot. And yeah. And like all this month, you know, we're going to talk about different Bigfoots in different regions. And of course, Bigfoot has its own, and it's known as a skunk ape. Yep. Mm-hmm. And the skunk ape, you know, it looks like a Bigfoot, and it, they say it's claimed up to be up to 500 pounds. And
yeah,
most notable, you know, characteristics, it's horrible.
Smells like a skunk.
Yeah, exactly. And it lives in Florida Everglades. And the origin of the skunk ape, according to a true skunk ape believers, go back to the indigenous belief, the Seminoles, had legends of I can't pronounce his name, Esti Kapaki, and it translates to the tall man. And
the tall man.
You would later earn, that's, you know, that, you know, later they call it a skunk ape, and the recent popularity really took off starting in the 70s, probably not a coincidental of the same time as Bigfoot had gotten attention, you know, because of the 67 Patterson film. And after an increase of sightings, there was even an attempt in 1977 to legally protect a skunk ape, but it did not pass. And so, you know, after that, you know, the Florida skunk ape, the Ohio Grassman, or the Ohio Bigfoot, you know, it just grew in popularity.
Absolutely. I mean, it just takes one thing to, for it to blow up, and everyone knows what it is, you know. And yeah, I was doing some research before we did the podcast just to kind of get some more info on, you know, the southeastern portion of the United States, because, you know, living in Washington and Idaho and up in that Pacific Northwest area, it's all the time, you know, it's a part of the culture and everything like that. You hear so much about it. I mean, the Sonics had their mascot. He was a Sasquatch. You know what I mean? It was ingrained into our livelihood up there. And looking through the BFRO down in Florida, so far what they have in their database is over 300 total sightings of Sasquatch, or what could be considered the skunk ape, down there. And then in Georgia, they almost have 150 up there too, right there on the border.
What, sightings?
So sightings, encounters. That website is, people could go on there and basically write what they saw if they had a sighting. And then they have like a class rating of what type of sighting it was or encounter. And it's definitely informational. If you have an opportunity to check it out, it's BFRO, and it'll take you right to their website.
Is it .com or .org?
I didn't see. I just typed it in. I know they used it a lot on Finding Bigfoot television show.
Okay.
And the guy that was the leader of that show is actually the one that put it on.
Oh, okay.
Or does the website. So
okay.
I want to say it's .org.
Okay. And if not, try .com. Well, hey.
.com?
Ha. Hey. No, I said if org don't work, try .com.
Right. Yeah. Try either or, but I mean, you get to read through different people's encounters and see all that. They have it broke down to each county and down to the date and everything like that. It's pretty informational.
Nice. Yeah. I won't drop any names, but before our Bigfoot month is over, hopefully I've got a big guess has to deal with Bigfoot, and it's probably about an 85% chance we might have a guess on. So if gorgeous Kenny Roberts is listening, these nuts, get excited, because I think we may make this happen.
Very cool. I'm excited to hear it. And I hope that I could be a part of another show.
Of course.
Awesome
of course.
So
we'll just give your dad COVID again, and then I'm just joking. I got a couple emails. You want to try to hash these two out?
Yeah, let's hear them.
All right.
You've got mail.
We just went old school there, AOL. You got mail. Okay. This one is sent from a longtime listener, Jose Walker. Actually, he's a longtime listener, Lyrical Spit. This is, I think this might be his first one emailing to Murky Chronicles, but or it might be a second one. I don't know. But he sends his email to murkychronicles@gmail.com. He goes, why do you think there hasn't been any good videos or photos of a Sasquatch or Bigfoot produced?
That's a good question. The best way I think I could describe it is, and it might sound crazy, but I think it's one of those things that needs to be seen in person. And if you try to use a camera, it won't capture it. I think that's just another one of those reasons why if it wants to be seen, it will be seen type of thing. I don't know. What do you think about that, man?
Well, this is what I think. Well, of course, you know, back in the Gilman Peterson days, I mean, they were out looking for Sasquatch or Bigfoot, you know, and they had, you know, cameras and stuff. But think about this. I don't care if you have the best iPhone or Android out there. If you're like in the woods and stuff, and you're not expecting to see a Bigfoot or something crazy out there, I mean, just think about it. You're nervous. Your hand's going to be shaking. You got to think about getting your camera, you know, app on your phone. And I mean, who's going to, you know what I'm saying?
Right. And the adrenaline's going to be pumping.
The adrenaline's going to be pumping. Yep. And it's just one of those things. I mean, yeah, that's what I think. And as for photos too, you know, you go out there and you're like shaking and you want to, by the time you get your video or camera out to even shoot a photo, right, it's too late. So I think that's why.
Right. The camera, the autofocus usually sometimes doesn't work.
Yep.
You know, you can't rely on technology. And I really feel like that's how Bigfoot or Sasquatch, Skunk Ape, whatever you want to call them, has eluded everyone so far throughout history.
Now, I just had a brain fart. But anyway, I forgot what I was going to say. But what do you think about, you know, there's a lot of things like Bigfoot and alien, you know, connection, and Bigfoots are time travelers, go to through portholes and stuff like that. I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely watched a lot of documentaries about that type of stuff where they consider Bigfoot to be part living creature, but also part mythical being where he could vanish. And I guess that's just a part of the story and the lore. I mean, I really don't have a idea of how that could happen. Do I believe that it's a living being? Of course. But do I think it definitely catches the eye of the viewer and the listener to be like, well, like what the email said, how has there never been a good video or picture? You know, could it be part mythical creature where it disappears whenever it gets a close encounter? You know what I mean?
Well, exactly. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm a flat earther or anything like this. And I know I'm kind of veering off the subject. So in reality, and you could look this up, there's actually been no, you know, actual pictures from it. It's all been illustrated. Even look when they show the videos, animation. I mean, how do we know? Like, of course, you know, throughout school, we already know history is kind of wishy-washy being taught in school and all this stuff, right? So how do you know? I mean, and it's already known fact, you know, Nazis from Germany came and they took, you know, people, different countries took scientists. And what do you think? NASA was, you know, Nazi scientists, right? And so when they talk about space, okay, Okay, well, you know what they're saying? Okay, so religion is faith-based, right? You have to have faith in your religion. Yeah. Yep. Now, if you think about it, nowadays, science is the new religion. They don't prove anything like when NASA or they say stuff on TV, oh, we sent a satellite in space or we're on Mars. How do we know? We're just going by their word. You got to have faith. Science is the new faith. So what I'm trying to get at, do we actually know the Earth's round? No. I mean, that's what they told us, right? I believe it's round. It could be flat. I don't know. So, but how do we know it's not flat? So what I'm getting at is do your own research. And I always keep an open mind, just like Bigfoot. Right. Are they time travelers go through portals? I don't know. I mean, it might be hard to believe, but I won't rule it out. I try to keep an open mind. You know what I'm saying? Just like people don't believe in Bigfoot. You believe in it. I've seen it. I guess what I'm trying to say, to me, anything's possible unless it's proven it's not. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I mean, you got to think about it like this. In the deepest parts of the ocean, we're discovering
new creatures.
New creatures, species that we thought to be extinct for thousands of years, and they're coming up from the deepest parts of the ocean.
Yep.
Who's there to say that with all that land mass throughout the U.S. that no one, you know, has lived in or gone through, that there's not, you know, it's kind of one of those things. I mean, I'm all for everyone's own opinion.
Yep.
This is my own opinion. I believe that there is, you know, there's too much land to not have it be fake. You know what I mean?
I mean, they try to say we want to go to, okay, I know, I don't know. Me, I'm just saying, I don't think we landed on the moon, and that could be another subject, but I think we should be focusing our, like you said, our deepest oceans. It's hardly, and like you said, the deepest forest is virgin forest. Right. I mean, just look at what they're thinking about the pyramids. Now they're saying, they say the pyramids are older than they actually thought. They found watermarks. They're saying Cleopatra, when she was living, is closer to the iPhone when it first came out than when the pyramids first were built.
Wow.
I mean, it's just mind-boggling. I mean, so, you know, who knows? I mean, well, let's get, we got another email. You ready for the second one?
All right. Yep.
You've got mail.
All right. This is a fun one. This is from Jelly. She sent her email to murkychronicles@gmail.com. And hey, miss your emails, Jelly. She went back all the way to Lovelock Day. She used to ask some juicy emails. Anyways, this one, she writes, what is your favorite TV Bigfoot or a show with Bigfoot in it?
Ooh, that one's a good one. Because, you know, there are so many documentaries, so many TV shows out there that aren't even on regular television. They could be on, like, Amazon Prime, things like that. Very good question. I think that my favorite is Finding Bigfoot. I do like Finding Bigfoot because I feel like that it was on Animal Planet. And I just feel like they really dove into just Bigfoot itself.
Okay.
And, you know, there's other TV shows like Destination Truth with Josh Gates. And he goes kind of into certain episodes where he talks about lore and myths and stuff like that. And he's done some pretty good episodes of his TV show about Bigfoot. Very informational.
Okay. Well, I went a little different route. My favorite Bigfoot on TV was Andre the Giant on the $6 Million Man.
Nice.
Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't seen that
one. Oh, you got to look it up. Is that one? I remember watching it when I was real little, but yeah, he was actual Bigfoot. And my favorite Bigfoot, now we're going to go way back before you were born. It was from Marty Croft. And Croft, they used to have shows like After School, And mm-hmm. this one was called Bigfoot and Wild Boy. And that you could watch them on YouTube.
Very cool.
Yep, it was one of my favorite shows, and it was based out of Pacific Northwest.
Nice.
So.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was online, and I figured, you know, I wanted to do something different. I don't think me and your dad, well, we won't call him your father. We'll call him Gordis Kenny Roberts. We got to stroke his ego, right. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. He likes being called the gorgeous one.
Yeah, yep. So I found this quiz online, and I figured mm-hmm. we could have fun with it, and then, you know, we'll give out the correct answers, and it'll, you know, and it's actually, some of these are, you know, great, you know, so everyone will get educated. So I figured, you know, a matter of fact, if the listeners emails murkychronicles@gmail.com, I will put together some kind of prize and send it to the first five people that emails us the correct answer. So,
wow.
In the meantime, I figure I'm going to ask you, I got, you know, a handful of questions, a couple of handfuls. I figured let's test your knowledge. And if the, you know, the listeners write them down and, you know, do what I say with the email, you know, they'll get a little prize.
Very nice.
Are you down for this?
Let's do it.
All right. Okay. And your dad would have a, or Gordis Kenny Roberts would have a heyday, because I'll mispronounce some of these words. So he's probably laughing. So,
yeah.
All right. Here we go. Number one, the study of animals that are not recognized by science, like Bigfoot and Yeti, is called. Okay. Here's three answers. Cryptozoology. Mm-hmm. Persuadology or fraudulology?
Ooh, I'm going to go cryptozoology.
Nice, man. I should have downloaded a, let me see if I have a, hold on, like a you know, a dinger.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't.
Man, that was a tough question.
But you know what? Okay, I got an applause thing, so.
There we go. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I just won't give you nothing. I'll you know what? I'll give you that and a cricket if you're wrong. How's that?
Okay. Okay. That sounds good.
Okay. Okay. Number two. I hope you guys are writing this down, okay? The earliest account of Sasquatch don't mention the tall ape-like creature. Or think of, okay, the earliest account of Sasquatch don't mention the tall ape creature we think of today. Instead, they were referred to what? So I guess this is what they referred them before they realized it was Bigfoot.
Right.
Okay, we got the bipedal black bears.
Mm-hmm.
Escape zoo monkeys or the giant Indians? Oh, wait, let me go back for a second. Cryptozoology, okay. Wait, the answer you got, cryptozoology, are also into their, they're for creatures like Yeti, Loch Ness Monster, and Chupacabras. Okay. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
The second one, you know, is it the black bears, escape zoo monkeys, or giant Indians? Well, what when they first saw them, what did they think they were before they realized it was a Bigfoot?
So from what I could remember, what I heard when I was little, is it was the tall Indians or the tall men from the forest, if you're from the Pacific Northwest.
Yep, the giant Indians. Nice. British Columbia school teacher John W. Burns collected the stories from Native Americans on the Chehalis Indian Reservation in the 1920s. Okay.
Very informational.
Yep. Okay. You ready for number three?
Yeah, let's do it.
The word Sasquatch originates from the folklore of what Native American group? Now, I got this wrong. I'll tell you why, but... Is it Tillamook, Tilgit, or Coast Salish?
Oh, a part of me wants to say Tillamook because of the cheese.
Yep, that's what that I did.
I'm going to go with the third one just because I haven't heard of that one before. Of that,
The Coast Salish called the creature. They called it the Sokutal or the Soskutal. That's what they called it. I would have said Sasquatch because I can't pronounce those words.
Right.
Okay. Good job. You're what, 3 for 3?
3 for 3. The last one was a guess. I'm pretty hungry too, so I should have stuck with Tillamook.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. This man in 1955 Bigfoot encounter is considered the first modern Sasquatch sighting. Gerald Simpson, Sam Farnsworth, or William Rowe?
Oh my gosh, I don't know this one. What were the names again? One more time.
Gerald Simpson, Sam Farnsworth, or William Rowe?
I'm going to go with William Rowe. Yeah.
I knew you were going to pick that. Okay. William Rowe said the creature was 6 feet tall and 3 feet wide and covered from head to toe with dark brown hair. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Oh, this one. You might get this one. Which is the scientific name given to Bigfoot? Is it Gigantopithecus? Enormous apin? Or Apioid erectus?
Oh, my gosh. This one I might get wrong, actually.
I learned this one from the Joe Rogan show years ago.
From the Joe Rogan show. Yeah. So I want to go with the APO one. If there was. Oh,
it's
no.
The giant hypothesis. Bigfoot enthusiast Dr. Glover Kratz named the Gigantopithecus after a primate that roamed South Asia between 8 million to 150,000 years ago. So, you know, back when the continents and Asia and all of us were hooked together, you know, they were saying that's how Bigfoot came over here, you know, walking the lands through the continents and got stuck here. So, you know, he's probably still floating around.
Probably.
Okay, here's one. I had to hit the cough button. Okay. According to Bigfoot Field Researcher Association. Now, if you don't get this one, I'm going to lose all respect for you. According to Bigfoot Field Researchers Association, which state boasts the most Bigfoot sightings? Florida, Washington, or California?
I'm going to go with my home state of Washington.
Yeah. Over 618 sightings, Washington might as well be called the Bigfoot state. Word up. Okay.
Absolutely. And that's funny that you say that question because the Bigfoot Field Research Organization is where I got those sightings from.
Now, how much did you say there was?
I didn't check for Washington.
Okay.
But just for the area that we're talking about, the Skunk Ape.
Oh, okay. That's right. That's right. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Okay. Bigfoot's slow-moving cousin, the Yeti, is usually associated with which mountain range? Himalayas, the Andes, or the Rockies?
Oh, the Himalayas.
Yep. At home in his Himalayan hideout, the Yeti is also called the Abominable Snowman. All right?
Yes.
The term Bigfoot was popularized after huge footprints were found at a construction site outside Klamath, California in what year? 1758, 1858, or 1958?
Ooh. You know, we've been talking about these stories and historical records, so I'm going to go 1858. Ah.
While sightings of tall ape-like creatures had been reported before 1958, incident got a great deal of attention because it was widely reported in the news. So,
wow.
Yep. Okay. Okay, this one's a fun one. You should get this one. Bigfoot plays a starring role in what 1980s movies? Harry and the Hendersons, Big, Tall, and Smelly, or Creatures from the Deep Woods?
Harry and the Hendersons.
Yep. It wasn't a real Bigfoot, but Henry and the Hendersons wasn't real, but it played by actor Kevin Peter Hall. Oh, yeah, Very nice. You got that right. Okay.
Yep.
What company airs Messin' with Sasquatch commercials? Slim Jim, Jack Lynx, or Herbertal?
Jack Lynx?
Yep. It ran its first commercial ads in 2006.
Heck yeah.
Okay. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five more. Are you not getting bored at this? Are you getting bored at this?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I think I only got 2 wrong so far.
That's right. Okay. Oh, we just talked about this one. What now relocated NBA team's mascot was Sasquatch? San Diego Clippers, Vancouver Grizzlies, or Seattle Supersonics?
I don't even want to talk about it because it still hurts.
I stopped.
It still hurts.
Yep. Seattle's hairiest cheerleader was named Sasquatch, and I stopped watching the NBA because what's that Starbucks owner screwed us. That's all I got to say.
I don't even drink Starbucks coffee because of that.
Yeah. Anyways, next. Okay. According to the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, BFRO, that's your organization.
Yep.
Which is the only state without a Bigfoot sighting? Hawaii, Delaware, or Rhode Island?
Ooh. That one's a tough one. I want to say Delaware.
Nope.
Ooh.
Hawaii. Bigfoot free. Delaware and Rhode Island have the next fewest sightings with just 5 each. But, Hawaii don't even have no predators or nothing. No snakes or nothing like that over there.
It's just paradise over there.
Paradise.
Bigfoot free.
A lot of chickens and a lot of those, there's a special kind of deer over there. Joe Rogan talks about it a lot. But
I heard that they actually fly people over there to go hunting for deer.
Yep, because there's no predators. Yep. There's no predators there.
They just populate and it turns into it turns into a nuisance.
Okay, you should get this one. You should get this one. What duo captured the most famous film of Bigfoot at Bluff Creek, California in 1967? Hawthorne and Neal, Gimlin and Patterson, or Davis and Walters?
Gimlin and Patterson.
Because of the film, Bob Gimlin is a bit of a celebrity in the Bigfoot Reachers community. All right?
Yep.
Here's another one you might get. Which is not a television show about the search for Bigfoot? Finding Bigfoot, Bigfoot Captured, or Where is Bigfoot?
Ooh, I know the one we've been talking about it all show.
Right.
I'm going to go Captured Bigfoot. Oh, no.
Where is Bigfoot? One of many Bigfoot themed shows on television these days. Yep. It's not. So that was a fake one. All right. 2 more. So what? You almost,
right.
what, 3?
3 or 4, I want to say. Yeah.
Oh, no, we just got 1 more. This was that
one
was
more.
Yep. Let's see. The Pangbush Buddhist Monastery in Nepal claims to possess what part of a yeti? The skull, the scalp, the tail.
Oh, I know this one. I've seen it on the shows. I'm leaning towards the skull. It's a scalp.
Oh. Yep, the scalp. And it says here, though, the monastery boasted a yeti scalp as well as a hand. The scalp turned out to be a sauropelt, and the hand was actually a human.
Oh.
So.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. So, you know, we did pretty good. So any of you listeners out there, if you rewind the show or you know, write it down and, you know, first five to email us, murkychronicles@gmail.com. We'll put together some kind of prize for you and be sure to leave your information.
And I got one for you, okay?
Okay, I'm ready.
Bonus question for you.
Okay.
What is a Bigfoot's favorite snack?
Jack Link's.
Nope. Doritos. Like toes on the end of his big feet?
Three toes?
Doritos. Like the Doritos chip. Oh. It was my first attempt at a dad joke. I'm sorry, everybody.
Oh, I was trying to find a laughter track, but here, I'll give you, let me find it. Here we go.
Thank you.
Yeah. So anyways, that was our trivia. So, you know, we have a treat for everyone. We have a story we're going to play after the commercial break. We'll talk a little more about it, but do you have anything else you want to, you know, any more stats or anything you want to say about Skunk Ape before we shut this show down?
No, I want to say, you know, like I've been an advocate for all of, all show and my whole life, you know, just because people say it's fake doesn't mean you can't believe in it. There's a lot of landmass out there. There's a lot of space for something that wants to be hidden, can be hidden. Enjoy it. It's put into our lives for a reason, whether it's for enjoyment or for research and stuff like that. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is just enjoy it, whether you believe in it or not. It's out there, you know.
Yeah, don't put other people's down. Don't be playa haters.
Right.
You know, you believe what you believe in. Like, we'll say stuff on the show, our thoughts and opinions, you know, and I'm not here to try to change anyone's mind. I just want to open them and, you know, and we you know, put stuff out there and do your own homework, you know. Don't take our word for it.
Absolutely. The best thing about all this stuff, everyone has a right to their own opinion. And it's just doing the homework, like you said, and having a conversation about it. And like you have experience seeing Bigfoot. I don't, personally. So it's one of those things, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, how about give out all your shout outs and plugs out there?
All right. I want to give a shout out to Vince over at Emerald Kennels. I know my dad has plugged him. Gorgeous Kenny Roberts has plugged him. but he really does a great job with taking care of animals, and very stand-up guy. I want to do a shout out to my beautiful fiance and future, yes, future Mrs. Carly Roberts. And I love you, babe. I can't wait to see you. And I want to give a shout out to you, Debashi, letting me be a part of this, because this has been an incredible experience. And I hope that I get to be a part of it again, man.
Of course.
This has been awesome.
Of course. You did a great job. Well, I want to give my shout outs. Sweet and Low Upholstery, the best tagline in the business, because their stitching is bitching. Another shout out to my partner in crime, Gorgeous Kenny Roberts. I hope you get rid of the China flu. This sound bite's for you, brother.
these nuts.
And then I'm the new producer of Tales from the Abyss on all major platforms. They've been a big advocate for Murky Chronicles. And thank you. And they're a great show. They're on all major podcast platforms. That's Jay Linderman and Pahu Rojo. And I want to plug my Lyrical Spit podcast on all major podcast platforms and Murky Chronicles. You can get all show links at lyricalspit@gmail.com. And don't forget our 24-hour hotline, 360-200-8779. Leave a message, and you may just hear yourself right here on the show.
Very cool.
So
I got one more.
All right.
Can't forget it. Hoo-yah! Shout out to Sasquatch Pro Wrestling.
Word up. Hoo-yah! Oh, that's a good one. And you know, Sasquatch Pro Wrestling is in hiding, just like Sasquatch, but it's going to reemerge when you least expect it. And yep. I want to say thank you, beautiful Joey Roberts, for stepping in. And you're welcome back anytime you want. You need anything, just let me know. You did a great job. And I think you're... Father Gordis Skinny Roberts is sweating in his boots because now he has competition.
Oh gosh. No, I appreciate this opportunity. And like I said, this experience has been incredible, and I hope to be on one with you and my dad, one of these future episodes. This has been awesome.
All right. Okay. We're going to leave you with this treat courtesy of What Lurks Beneath YouTube channel. It's Florida Skunk Ape, Ohio Grassman, and Ohio Bigfoot, true stories of Bigfoot sightings. Hashtag save our children. Epstein and McAfee didn't kill themselves. We'll be right back after this brief commercial break. If she has an apple, she has a banana.
These nuts?
Yes, sir.
June 17th, 2013. Salt Fork State Park, Bigfoot Ridge. Me and my girlfriend went to bed at about 10 p.m. Off and on, we heard really weird, loud screams. At about 1 in the morning, she woke me up in terror, because whatever it was making the noise was now outside her tent, just feet from our heads, pulling handfuls of grass. She was frozen with fear and waited for it to walk away. When it did, she opened the tent where she heard twigs cracking, shining the flashlight in that direction when she saw its really big yellow eyes. They were close together, and it turned towards the wooded tree line. We believed it watched us grab our stuff and end the trip early. We left our tent and hauled it out of there fast. We are completely traumatized over the experience and would like to talk to somebody who believes. We also believed we attracted it because I was knocking on trees just after sunset. We were told there were no other people supposed to be in the area camping, but it looked like they left early also, leaving camping gear behind. It was just the two of us. And as for the environment, it was next to the marsh, a quiet and clear night. One thing to note is that all the frogs in the area had stopped making noise all at once, and my dog was also acting weird, would not come out of the Jeep. A follow-up investigation report was done by an investigator by the name of Mark DeReth. After interviewing the main witness and having multiple conversations, I'm convinced that in fact something did occur that night on and around the campsite. The fear and tone of their voices while recounting the experience was quite compelling. She was awakened by something walking around their tent, making a sound similar to tearing out long grass. She listened for a short period of time while trying to wake up her boyfriend by nudging him. The walking sound became faint and then became quiet. She opened the tent door, crawled out with a flashlight on, and in hand scanning the surrounding area while on all fours. Towards the woodline, there was an area of tall reeds that led up to the forest. When her light shined in that direction, she clearly saw two large yellowish golf ball-sized eyes looking in her direction, standing in the reeds. Within seconds, the large eyes turned towards the forest and disappeared, making just a little noise on its departure. After seeing and hearing this, she panicked, abruptly awakening her boyfriend to the point that they both became quite concerned on what was out there. The boyfriend, who is 6'5", shined the flashlight in the woods and had his sidearm, he had a concealed carry permit, ready while his girlfriend went to get their vehicle and drive it back to the campsite. He could hear the footfalls at what he estimated was 100 feet into the woods. Once there, they quickly threw everything in the vehicle, drove straight home at around 2 in the morning, leaving their belongings and their tent behind. And they were the only tent at the primitive campground, and were very shaken up by the whole experience. They joked around earlier in the evening and made wood knocks since the campground was called Bigfoot Ridge. I asked the witness if the eye shine was a possible owl, and she said absolutely not. She could faintly hear it walk away when it turned towards the woodline and stated there were no trees within 30 feet from where she could see it standing. She also stated that compared to her rather tall boyfriend, the thing she saw was much taller and most definitely whiter. They also had a dog with them, but noted it was acting quite strange while tied up close to the woodline. After watching the dog's behavior, they all decided to put the dog in the vehicle before they went to bed. The dog did not bark the entire night once in the vehicle. Sunday. I was a vendor at Creature Weekend at Salt Fork State Park on May 4th. At around 9:45 p.m., a fisherman that was in a tournament came in all shaken up and said that, at first, I thought you guys were a bunch of nuts, until now. So, he began to tell his story to the other vendors. So, this grabbed my attention. I went over to listen, and there were about 5 of us that decided to go out the next morning at about 6 a.m. to check out the site. So, I got there at 5, waited, and said to myself, if they are not here by 5:30 a.m., I'll start without them. Maybe they will catch up with me. So, I started to head down the sagebrush trail, headed to where he got the picture. The wind was from my left to right, and the sun was on my left shoulder, halfway down the path. 2 deer must have smelt me, because they were on my right, and started running. So, I kept walking, and the sun started to come up, and when I hit the first turn on sagebrush trail, I heard something like talking on the ridge on my left. At first, I thought it was friend A and friend B, with friend A's black shirts on. So I hit a tree and yelled, "Hey guys, wait up." Then they started to walk faster, and I yelled, "Very funny guys." This is when I got a great look at them. Then I knew what I was looking at on the ridge. It was 2 Bigfoot creatures. They were black and very huge. I tried to catch up with them, get a picture with these things, and they were walking fast. Once they get to the bottom of the ridge, they took off into the brush, but I did manage to get a whole good picture of them. You can see in the picture, the one turned to look to see if I was trying to follow them. When the one turned to look back, he had to turn his whole top half of his body with his left arm going across his chest to look back at me. I tried to follow them, but once they got in the brush, I could not hear or see them, but I got a great look at them, and they were black as coal. The hair length was as long as a bear, and surprisingly well-groomed. At any time, they could have stopped and tore me in half, but all they wanted to do is get away as fast as possible. The other thing I noticed or the only other thing, that made me look up on the ridge was I heard something like somebody talking, but I could not make it out. It sounded like somebody outside your home talking, but again, it just sounded like muffled noise, kind of like an 8-track tape player that was eating the tape. I did not smell anything like wild animal, but this could be because the wind blowing on top of the ridge. I searched for footprints of hair samples, but they came up empty-handed. A follow-up investigation report was done by investigator Mark Mazel. A site visit was performed on this area in June 15, 2013, and the following can be added to this report. The sighting took place on Shade Brush Trail in Salt Fork State Park. It was about 3/4 of a mile down the 2-mile trail. At the point of first seeing these animals, the witness was approximately 200 feet away, on a ridge that was most likely cleared of brush. When I went to that spot, he stated that they were much bigger than myself. I'm about 6 feet tall. He also stated to me that they made me look small. The two animals were dark in color, and the witness describes them as huge. The witness described the long arms, longer than a human. Their walk and gait was weird, as they were sort of squatting as they walked. The closest that he was to these animals was upon the initial sighting. The witness was not able to discern any specific features. He simply was not close enough. He did note that the hair was not matted and had a very slight shine to it. When the animal turned to look at the witness, the animal turned its entire body. The witness also did not notice a neck and describes the turning motion as stiff. We moved to this location 2 years ago. We only lived here a few weeks, and my 4-year-old came running into the house and said he didn't want to play outside anymore. He seemed upset, but not extremely frightened. When I asked him what was wrong, he said he saw a monkey man looking at him through the trees. I went out there, and nothing was there. I searched around the area, but didn't see anything. My son took me to the tree and showed me where someone or something was looking at him, between a fork in the tree. That was 2 years ago. Yesterday, my oldest son, aged 15, was standing in the living room, glanced out the picture window. He says that something huge and black ran from some trees we have there besides the garage. I was kidding and said, "Is it Bigfoot?" And very seriously, was like, "Yeah, I think it is." I ran out the back door, which is toward the opposite side of the garage than where whatever it was would be standing. I ran behind the garage and to the other side, but nothing was there. I live near a heavily wooded area, and the woods are close to the house, behind and to one side of it. The garage blocks the view of the yard, and you can only see the front side from the window. Whatever it was would have had plenty of time to run into the woods. Tonight, my son's friend Bobby was visiting for the night and was outside getting things ready to build a fire when he called my husband from his cell phone to the house. He thought my husband or son was playing a trick on him to try and scare him. He told him to come out, and when my husband went out to him, Bobby told him something big was running from the tree to tree, looking at him. He said it was black, and even though it was dark, he saw the outline of the face, which is why he thought it was my husband or son. This would have been about 40 feet, ending to 20 feet away from him. He said it came from the right outside the tree line, from the yard, and then went into the tree line, running from tree to tree, looking at him, getting closer, like it was trying to hide from him, but still keep an eye on him. When my husband came out, Bobby turned away to ask him if my son was playing the joke. When he turned back, it was gone. They came in and told me, so we went out with the camera, took some pictures of the woods in the dark. I don't know if I got anything or not. Whatever it is, from descriptions given to me, it's about 6 to 6'4". And since everybody says it's about the size of my husband or son, Husband is 6 and a half, and son is 6'2". Note, the porch light was on, and you could see the edge of the tree line because of the light. My cat that hardly ever leaves the deck has now disappeared. I attribute it to the old age thing, though because she was about 14, after all. But she was fine the night before when I fed her, and she does not ever disappear. She always sticks right by the house. There were no other witnesses. My youngest was playing on the deck. My oldest was standing in our living room, talking to his father and I. Bobby, my son's friend, was trying to get a fire started. There is also a big field leading into about 80 acres of woods. My house, remember, sits with woods very close to one side, with about 4 acres of open yard on the other side leading to more woods, then the highway. Across the highway, there are more woods. Close to the back of my house are woods that go back roughly 700 feet, then hit a huge field, then to more woods. There is a house way back in the woods, but nobody really lives there, and they are only there for a few weeks out of the year. I cannot see the house from mine. There are maple, oak, pine, and ash trees. I am the only house on this side of my street, with only a few houses on the opposite side spaced very far apart. A follow-up investigation report was done by investigator Mark Mazel. I performed a site visit to this area on August 7th and 12th, spoke to both of the witnesses. The following can be added to these reports. Both witnesses described the animal as being 6.5 to 7 feet tall. The very first witness describes the animal as muscular, as his sighting happened at around 3 in the afternoon. The second witness again was unable to describe the animal's build, partly due to it taking place at around 10:30 at night. Both witnesses describe the animal to have had a pale face and hands. Both also describe the head shape as round. The witness, the first one, stating that it did not have facial hair. The second states that the animal did not have a neck, while the first one did not notice it. Witness 1 describes the animal's arms as long, with large hands that were facing rearwards. Witness 1 observed the animals from a bay window on the side of the house that was approximately 50 feet from this animal. The second witness saw the animal from approximately 100 feet away and saw the animal near the woodline. The second witness did state that as the animal was leaving, he did hear one knock as it was heading further into the forest. The very first incident lasted only about 30 seconds in total duration, the second lasting about 2 minutes, as the witness was trying to figure out what he was seeing. Both described the animal as only moving on 2 feet. Both state that the animal headed into the wood, east. The second witness was unaware of what had transpired the previous day when his sighting had occurred. Further examination of the area provided the following information. The area runs along an interstate highway. The woods behind the house open into a large field, followed by more open woods. Further back, another field opens up, and then again, more woods are present. Eventually, this will lead to a house. There is actually a drainage area to the south of the house that leads to a creek that crosses under the highway. Signs of movement were abundant in the woods, with deer and raccoon prints being seen very often. Actually, a deer carcass was observed near the road, as was a possum near the south woodline. No other footprints were found. The household also throws their peelings and spoil of food out into the woods. That attracts animals. The cat has still not shown up at the residence. Farms and a horse barn are nearby, as was the abundance of wild berries. This happened back in October. Just past dusk, while with my hunting partner, we were camped up on a hill above the ravine that we bow hunt every single year. I went there to take a leak on the porta potty that we had set up 100 feet from the campsite. While sitting there, with the glare of the campfire in sight, I noticed a really stinky smell coming from the direction of behind me. I stood up, turned around to see this animal, standing there a short distance away, staring at me. I looked at this thing in amazement. It was leaning on one foot, just looking right at me. I was totally terrified. It was white in color, had dark brown skin, an apparent round head, and real deep sunken in eyes. Although it was about my height, 6'2", it was very wide of the shoulders. I would have to say it was 3.5 to 4 feet wide, which made its waist look thin in comparison. Since I had a shovel to bury my waist, I screamed at the creature and waved the shovel in the air. Once I did this, it sprinted into the woods, down the ravine, at a very alarming pace. I could hear it busting branches as it left the area. My friend came running over, wondering what was wrong. I told him what had just happened, but he just couldn't believe me. That was until the next day, when we went right to the location and found the large tracks going towards the ravine. I think, after him seeing them, he was somewhat convinced that I had seen something very unusual. The other thing I noticed was its hair coloring looked dirtier below the waist. There was also a follow-up investigation, and if there were any other stories, when the property owner found out what I saw, he asked that we didn't hurt them, they mean no harm, which meant they knew that they were around. One of the property owners admitted seeing a similar colored creature. The property we hunt on consists of 150 acres of the roughest terrain here in Ohio. Since I've talked to this witness multiple times, and his story has been consistent year after year, he noted that the creature was only 20 feet away when he saw it. Its face, appearing to be dark in color, and no neck was visible. The overall bulk of this creature is what impressed him the most, and he estimated it had to be a weight of around 350 pounds or more. The area has a good-sized stream that flows all throughout the ravine. There is a good-sized cave there that he has seen from a distance, but has never had the courage to check it out. And this area also has had a long history of Bigfoot reports, strange sounds. It's an area that clearly warrants further investigation. A boy of 12 years of age, back in the fall of 1998, was squirrel hunting on his parents' property. His parents own over 100 acres of land, which also has livestock on it. At any rate, the boy, whom we'll call Michael, was sitting just inside the woodline, waiting for the perfect chance to get a squirrel. He heard something running towards him, off to his right, thinking it was a deer. He soon discovered that it was actually a rabbit running through the woods. A moment later, he heard some heavy walking and thought it was a person. It wasn't. What Michael saw was described as between 7 and 8 feet tall, was white in color, and the skin on its hands and face being black. Mike noted that, for a fact, the fingers on the hands were long and slender. The creature rested one of its hands on the side of a tree. He did not see the eyes, but that could have been because of the bangs hanging over them. He only saw part of the ears. He did see that the head was not rounded like a human, but sloped back to a point. He also said it was fat. I finally learned what he meant by fat. It was very bulky from the waist up. Michael saw all of the creature, except below the shins. And after about 30 seconds, this creature noticed Michael. They had a brief stare down, and Michael finally gave in by running out of the woods, through an open field, and back to the house. As it turns out, Michael was roughly 35 feet from this creature. The witness was sitting on a rock with a shotgun, waiting for a squirrel to come by. So he had been squirrel hunting all day. The sighting also took place on Thursday, October 15th, 1998, around 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This took place in high terrain, but also down in a valley, A creek runs through the valley that the creature was running through. After listening to the Bigfoot scream recording that I'd heard on the BFRO, I played it for two friends of mine, and we all agree that it is exactly what we heard. In the summer of 1999, we were working on a cabin that my friend was building in this county, about 3 miles away. Around 2 a.m., we were all awakened by a series of screams. We had no idea what they were. Later, we figured they were a bobcat. When I listened to this recording, I am positive that is what we heard, and everyone agrees. I've heard it one other time in 1999, but not since then. My friend who actually owns the cabin and his son has also heard the scream on other occasions. I was even dreaming when I was awakened. I think I may have heard a howl in addition to this series of screams, but I can't be sure. A follow-up report was done with this witness, and talking with them, he said the sounds they heard were in no way anything like an owl, cougar, bobcat, coyote, bird, etc. The series of screams they heard were so loud, it woke all of them from a sound sleep. He even downloaded the Ohio sounds from BFRO, played them for the other guys that have heard the sounds near the cabin. They all agreed that is what they've been hearing. What I observed to this day still haunts me. Back in the springtime, May to be exact, I was driving, and on the side of the road, there, looked like a brown bear, just lying there, as if it were hit by a car. I did not completely stop. However, I did slow down to observe whatever was lying on the side of the road, standing up, glanced, and ran off into the distance. This thing, when it took off, stood at about 6.5 to 7 feet tall. After this thing took off, it stepped over the guardrail, that is, on the side of the road. This thing looked like a large man in an ape suit. After the creature, or whatever it was, took off, I did stop, rolled down the windows, but did not get out of the car because I was simply scared. When I did roll down the passenger window, it smelt as if I hit a skunk. The smell could have came from a skunk. I don't know where the smell came from, and I know the smell was there after rolling the window down. I got a chance to speak to the witness, J.S., and found him to be sincere and forthright in the description of his encounter. While driving southbound on Route 77, near the Salt Fork Lake State Park in Ohio, J.S. passed something huddled on the side of the road. It was lying up against the guardrail, between the railing and the yellow line on the edge of the highway. At first, he thought it was a bear, but then realizing that it was a humanoid shape that was in a hunched or crouched position, much like the duck and cover position that the infamous 1950s school children were instructed to do when going through a nuclear alarm test, on the knees with the head ducked low. His first thought was that whatever it was had been hit by a car due to its position and location on the side of the road. Confused as to what had been seen, J.S. quickly stopped, puts the car in reverse, and as soon as he backs up to it, the creature then stands up on two legs, steps over the 3.5-foot guardrail, and walks into the woods. J.S. said that once he had backed up his car, he was about 15 to 20 feet away from this creature, covered with well-kept, long brownish-gray hair, and the back was hairier than the front. He likened the length and texture of its hair to that Cousin It from the TV show The Addams Family, smooth and flowing. J.S. stated that he did not see its face, but did remember quite distinctly that it had no ears. The head was more of an oval shape, rather than a circular shape, and its head sat squarely on its shoulders. The shoulders were also massive, probably 3 times the width of his own shoulders, and the torso and legs were huge and thick. He also emphasized that the hands were also huge and they would hang down to its knees. When asked for an estimate on the weight and size, J.S. told me that it exceeded 6'5", and weighed close to 500 pounds, maybe more. He also commented that in the 15 to 20 seconds he observed this creature, he could see such details about this thing because there was quite a bit of moonlight present at the time. After losing sight, he noticed a large pond lit up by the moonlight in the bottom of a nearby valley. With the window rolled down, he noted quite a stench in the vicinity, described as being between a skunk and a fishy smell. He did not feel safe getting out of his car because of what he had just witnessed. While reviewing this encounter, which occurred near the Salt Fork Lake State Park, I found there to be 5 other similar reports occurring in the same area. The Salt Fork Lake State Park borders Route 77 and has a large land area of over 17,000 acres of wilderness, which includes lakes, streams, woods, marshes, as well as the Salt Fork Lake, which is 3,000 plus acres in size alone. I woke up on the morning of April 17th, 2004, at about 5:45 a.m., made my way out of the tent to make breakfast. I was on a camping trip with my father at the time. As I got breakfast ready, I sat down and watched the water boil. And then I heard a loud scream, howl, sounding very much like the Columbiana County, Ohio recordings. As soon as I heard this, I ran down a hill from my campsite to the north bank of the Salt Fork Lake. On my way down, I hear another howl. Both were slightly shorter than the Columbiana recordings, but still the same sound. I know that they came from the southern bank, and I would guess that they were most probably a mile or so away. I only heard the sound twice, and I was still a little shocked and did not tell my father until a few hours after he got up. The howls did not wake up any campers that I know of. And 2 days before this incident, I was walking on a trail and found a series of human-like footprints leading down the trail in the same direction that I was traveling, west. I found one to still be in good condition, so I cast it. It was of a left foot. It measured slightly over 12 inches long and 5.5 feet wide. It had 3 well-defined toes, one that was barely pressed down, and one toe that is missing. Although there is a space for a toe in that area in question, other, less defined prints were found. They were in about 4 to 4.5 feet strides. There were also no other witnesses, since my father was asleep, as was the rest of the entirety of the camp. There was also a follow-up investigation report done. I've talked to the witness on multiple occasions, and am quite confident he heard what he claims. The area in question has had a long history of Bigfoot sightings to the present day, and the area he was camping at has had Bigfoot sightings well within the actual campground. I personally examined the cast of the alleged left foot. It was broken in one part, which made it hard to distinguish what it truly could be, although its shape was definitely foot-like in proportion. Looking at photos, seeing the distance between the alleged prints, I can rule out black bear and humans. If there is more detail in the cast and the photos, more could be said. Credit must be given to the witness, since he's only 14, and took the time to photograph and cast the alleged tracks. I live in Lake Helen, Florida, and we have had several incidents that I didn't put together until I ran across the story of the recent sightings. My daughter and I share our home with 2 golden retrievers. It's not uncommon for my female to not want to go outside due to her nightly business for no apparent reason. Now, maybe there is. My daughter and I were in my bedroom around 9 p.m. one night when something slapped the side of the house so hard that it shook it. We looked around from inside but saw nothing. 3 days later, at about 3 in the morning, my daughter in her bedroom, directly above my bedroom, sharing the outside wall, woke up to a loud house shaking slam, following by a loud growl. Her feet hit the floor upstairs at the same time mine hit the downstairs. We assumed it was just a bear, but never could figure out why a bear would hit the house, and how it could hit hard enough to shake the entire house, waking us up both. This was shortly after February, in the wintertime. There were also reports in the adjacent area, which is a community within Lake Helen. Where this happened was within walking distance of each other. In the adjacent areas, there have been other sightings. I don't recall any specific weather conditions, but I can tell you it was pitch black outside. First time was around 9 p.m., and second around 3. There was actually a follow-up investigation. The witness and her daughter live in Lake Helen, an area that has a rich history of Sasquatch activity. In fact, there was so much activity that in the 70s, that the town now refers to the creature as the Mole Man. The witness is aware of the Mole Man's stories, but hasn't put much faith in them until recently. On the night of February 24th, 2013, around 9 p.m., the witness and her daughter were getting ready for bed. Both were in the bathroom, talking, when something hit the side of the house. It was so loud and powerful, the wood frame of the house shook. Thinking someone might be trying to break in, they turned on all the outside lights, looked through the windows, and saw nothing, but called the police. The police looked around outside with flashlights, did not find anything. A few nights later, at about 3 a.m., they were both awakened by another house-shaking slam to the house, followed by a loud, deep growl. In both cases, the house slam came from the same area, just under the master bedroom window. I spoke with the witness, then visited her property shortly after the incidents. The property is just about a half a mile from the 1970s Mole Man Orange Grove reports. It is just over a mile away from the Mole Man reports from the summer of 2012. That is in a separate report. The property is heavily wooded, as is the entire area. A power line road runs alongside the backside of her property. She has a compost pile that she adds leftover food to, several berry trees, and has never had anything like this happen in the many years she has lived there. Me and my buddy were out in the woods hunting in Pearson, Florida, on 9 Mile Road. We were driving out, and I noticed something big and brown in the ditch on the side of the road, crouching down. Then it stood up and walked back and forth across the road. Then, crouching back down, we know for a fact it wasn't a human. It seemed to be about 9 feet tall. It was about 5:30, 20 minutes before dark. In fact, there was also another follow-up investigation on this report. The man who spoke with the hunter, who was an avid outdoorsman, about his late afternoon sighting. He was hunting with a friend, but his friend went off in another direction, and then this occurred, so he was alone at the time of this sighting. The hunter was hog hunting in a very heavily wooded wildlife management area near Lake George. He heard bushes rustling, turned, and saw a human but ape-like face and shoulders squatting behind bushes. The gentleman has seen bear in the area and knows what he saw was indeed not a bear. It was 15 to 20 yards away, and when the creature was standing, it was much taller than his 6'5 frame. He estimates more like 8 to 9 feet. It had a flat nose, not like a human, but seemed to have other humanoid features. He watched it for a minute and a half behind the bushes before it stood again, turned, and quickly walked away on two legs, towards the swamp. It was dark brown, mixed black hair and color. Heavy foliage blocked him from getting a better view of the creature's lower body. When it briskly walked away, heavy footsteps could be heard. It did not vocalize. The hunter smelt an odor similar to that of a wild hog odor, but much stronger and heavier during the encounter. He was hunting in that place because of the smell. He thought there was hog in the vicinity. After the creature walks away, the hunter left the area too. It was startling, at least for him. And although he had a gun, the creature's size was intimidating, and he did not wish to investigate further. The area of this encounter was in Lake George State Forest, which is part of two wildlife management areas, with more than 20,000 acres of virgin longleaf slash pine, bald cypress, and other bottomland hardwood hammock forests. During the wet season, there are also marshy floodplain areas, along with this national forest. This joins part of a network of protected lands, forming a wildlife corridor and roaming habitat for Florida black bear. Other species of wildlife that call the area and the vicinity home include white-tailed deer, turkey, bobcat, and of course, feral hog. There is currently another encounter that is being investigated in the same area. It is safe to say that Sasquatch or skunk ape activity is well and alive. A friend and I were fishing late into the night and early morning in a remote area between Ormond Beach and Flagler Beach, next to a small bridge on Walter Boardman Lane. The friend of mine noticed a set of eyes shining in the woods while looking down a very small trail. We were wearing headband-style flashlights, and he told me to go check it out. As I looked down the trail, it was very obvious to me that the eyes were far enough apart and high enough off the ground to justify being concerned. I convinced myself and my friend that whatever it may be, it's more afraid of us than we are of it. A while later, maybe 20 minutes or so, he mentioned that it was still there staring at us. I walked slightly closer to the opening of the trail in an attempt to make out what it may have been, but still couldn't tell. A few minutes goes by, same thing. It was still there and still staring towards us. I tried to make noise and decided to yell at it. It apparently wasn't too concerned because it didn't so much as blink or move. We again convinced ourselves that it was nothing to be afraid of. We continued with fishing, and not long after, my friend notices that it had finally moved on. We thought nothing more of it until I got the biggest scare of my adult life. As I was standing there, something let out the deepest, slowest growl that I have ever heard in my life. It sounded as though it was standing directly behind me and very close. I turned to look at my friend, and the look on his face told me that I was certainly not hearing things. Without a second thought, or even a spoken word, we drop our fishing poles and run as fast as we could to the truck. We jumped in, locked up tight. My first question was if he had heard it, and his response was, yeah, what was that? We were so scared that we weren't sure what to do. The decision was made a couple of minutes later to start the truck, turn on the headlights. He raced the engine, blew the horn repeatedly. Even after a few moments of doing this, and feeling sure that whatever it was had to have left the area, we were still very hesitant to retrieve our fishing gear. After a long while of deciding, we very quickly jumped out, threw our things into the back of the truck, and left. We had both lived in Florida for some time. We spent a lot of time on the water and in the woods, fishing, camping, all in remote locations. Never before, never have I heard anything like that. I can say for a fact that 100% it was not an alligator or a bear. Beyond that, I have no idea. I do know whatever it is may have been convinced two grown men, both of them, to immediately go out and purchase handguns to carry during each and every future outing. Not sure where the sound clips of the growls come from on the Finding Bigfoot television series, but they're about the closest thing I've heard of to the sound I heard that night. The only other detail that stands out to this day is that we had a buffet of shrimp, chicken gizzards, and livers. Cut up fish sitting on the tailgate of the truck. On the 19th of May 2007, at around 8:30 a.m., my wife and I were on our way to the local bait shop on the Flagler County line in Central Florida. Our usual route to the shop at Highbridge Road is via Old Dixie Highway through Walter Boardman, also known as the Loop. I was turning left off Old Dixie onto Walter Boardman, and I looked ahead on the road and saw two vehicles approximately half a mile in front of me on Walter Boardman. At that instant, behind the vehicle closest to me, I saw a tall, dark figure on two legs swiftly cross the road from south to north. The figure that I saw was taller than the vehicle ahead of it, and it appeared to cross the road in three or four stiff-legged strides. I said to my wife, "Did you see that?" She replied that she had not, as she was looking for something in her purse. By that time, whatever it was already in the woods. So I sped up to reach the area where the figure crossed the road. My wife and I scanned the entirety of the woods where it had disappeared, saw no trace of it. I knew right away, though, that this was not a regular animal or man. It was extremely tall, dark, and fast, although it did not appear to be running. The strides covered a great distance. We continued towards our destination and had arrived at a plantation, a state park where we fish. I won't mention the name. We mentioned what I had seen to the ranger, who dismissed it as a simple black bear. I disagree. It was lean and too fast to be a bear walking on hind legs. I wish that I could have gotten a better look up close, but I have and will continue to look carefully as I drive the loop for another sighting of this very interesting creature. A follow-up investigation report was done. This witness saw a tall, dark figure cross the road, right after a red pickup truck that was a half a mile ahead of it passed it. The figure was approximately 2 to 3 feet taller than the truck, and walked bipedally on two legs, the estimated height to be around 7 to 9 feet tall. He has lived in such areas like Alaska, and is very familiar with seeing bears. He firmly stated that this was not a bear sighting. The witness has visited this location several times to look for evidence, but with no success. The Plantation Ruin State Park is 150 acres through the Bulow Creek, travels before it empties in the Tomica Basin. The park is a part of the Greenway Corridor that connects the nearby North Peninsula Recreation Area on the coast.
Help keep this show free by buying some of our swag of apparel at butcherspit.com. We have t-shirts, hoodies, and even baby onesies. That's butcherspit.com.
Be sure to check out Murky Chronicles, drops every Friday. Hosted by yours truly, Theyfala, the Butcher Dobashi, and Kenny Roberts. With guests, stories, news on unexplained and bizarre happenings, you can listen on your favorite podcast platforms or just go to lyricalspit.com for the latest shows and links.